I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Back now to our breaking news here in the Middle East. A massive explosion at the largest refugee camp in Gaza. Joining us now is Lieutenant Colonel Richard Hecht. He's the international spokesperson for the Israel Defense Forces. So can you confirm it was an Israeli attack that destroyed a big chunk of that Jabalia refugee camp?
Yes, I can.
But even if that Hamas commander was there amidst all those Palestinian refugees who are in that Jabalia refugee camp, Israel still went ahead and dropped a bomb there, attempting to kill this Hamas commander, knowing that a lot of innocent civilians, men, women, and children, presumably would be killed. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's not what you're hearing, Wolf. We, again, were focused on this commander, again, who you'll get more data who this man was, killed many, many Israelis. We're doing everything we can. It's a very complicated battle space. There could be infrastructure there. There could be tunnels there. We're still looking into it, and we'll give you more data as the hour moves ahead.
But you know that there are a lot of refugees, a lot of innocent civilians, men, women, and children in that refugee camp as well, right?
This is the tragedy of war, Wolf.
Thank you, Wolf Blitzer, for serving as the public relations arm for Hamas. There was Wolf Blitzer of CNN questioning an IDF spokesman about a bombing of a refugee camp, and under that camp was a Hamas commander, now certainly believed dead because the entire building imploded, falling into the tunnel where the tunnel could be exposed and basically killing everyone that might have been in the tunnel, which would have included the commander, many other members of the Hamas terrorist group, and maybe destroying some of their munitions. And yes, unfortunately, killing civilians. But here was Wolf Blitzer hammering home. You admit Israel hit the hospital, not the hospital, hit this building, right? Yes, Wolf, we did. And you did it knowing that civilians might be there and that they would be killed? You see how they're playing the game? What can we do to make the Israelis look as mean and as nasty as those who came across the border October 7th from Gaza into Israel, paragliding into a beach party? Knowing no one was going to be armed, no military there, and they went in strictly to slaughter, kill, rape, butcher, burn those victims, and then went into cities along the buffer zone doing the same thing, not going after military targets if they found them, good, but they were willing to just slaughter men, had no relationship to IDF forces, and women and children and babies. They were not serving as a military unit. They were clearly a terrorist action. Military units do not try to kill women and children. But here's Wolf Blitzer doing the job for Hamas public relations and their spin machine, saying you were killing civilians and you knew you were going to do it just to get that commander and some of his people. Yes, Wolf, that's part of war. And Wolf Blitzer has enough experience to know that that happens, but he was driving home the point because that is a leftist, state-controlled media approach. Whatever we can do to slander Israel. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, November 1, 2023. Do I sound a little bit agitated and angered? I am. November 1, 2023. First hour of Larry Connors USA. First of 2 hours back to back. We're here every night for you. 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. And, of course, we're also streaming video while we're on the air for you at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. If you missed any part of this program or you want to make sure some friend, family that might not have been listening gets to hear it, you simply pull it up at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Pick the piece you want. Share it with them. Be glad to have you do that, because I want them to also recognize and understand what's happening in our country right now. We have Ivy, quote, league colleges that are allowing their students to rampage through the hallways, waving PLO flags and shouting, basically, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. In other words, wipe out Israel. This is not a land dispute issue when Hamas went in. Hamas went in to Israel because they hate Jews and want to kill them. And yet that's the story they're selling, that, well, we want our land back. It was after the World War II, and it was all apportioned, and then Israel was declared as a state with the UN sanctioned, by the way. And Harry Truman, the first nation with our nation, standing forward and recognizing Israel as a separate state. But it's not over the battle over land at this point. They were given the Gaza Strip, in fact, given it entirely because Israel pulled Jewish settlers out of the area to let the PLO have it. And then the PLO lost it to the Fatah group, and then Hamas. Palestinians also live in the West Bank, on the eastern edge of Israel. But never mind the facts, because they want to make it clear, and they found a willing, stupid audience among young students who have no understanding of history, don't bother looking at it. And they happen to be friends with somebody who's a Palestinian. But not all Palestinians are jihadists, and they're not Hamas terrorists. But yet they're on the streets now acting like they might be. And students who have no concept other than, what's this, a beer party? Let's get in the streets and rally. And they've got professors doing the same thing. And a member inside the Department of Homeland Security putting out a text message basically praising Hamas on the day of the attack. I'm going to get back to that story a little bit later. So yes, a commander was killed, and we don't know how many others might have died. The footage from the scene shows tremendous destruction. An entire building, 8-12 stories high, collapsing, the tunnel exposed, obviously bodies buried inside. And Israel admits, yes, we hit it, because we knew this guy was hiding under that building. This is exactly what we told you over and over. Hamas hides behind children, women, and under hospitals and mosques, saying, oh, Israeli army will not hit this. Well, this was not a hospital, was not a mosque, but they had intel this guy was there then, along with some of his other commanders. If you're going to kill the snake, you want to cut off the head, but in this case, you're cutting off whatever piece you can grab hold of. But I want to go back to Wolf Blitzer. As he continues to serve, basically, he must be getting a check from the Hamas terrorist.
You knew there were civilians there. You knew there were refugees, all sorts of refugees, but you decided to still drop a bomb on that refugee camp attempting to kill this Hamas commander. By the way, was he killed?
I can't confirm yet. There'll be more updated. Yes, we know that he was killed. About the civilians there, we're doing everything we can to minimize. I'll say it again. Sadly, they are hiding themselves within civilian population. And again, we are doing this stage by stage, and we're going to go after every one of these terrorists who was involved in that heinous attack on the 7th of October.
Yeah, they're going to go after them. But again, at the time he was doing the interview with Wolf Blitzer, they had not confirmed that the commander was killed. They have since confirmed that, yes, he was there. We got him and several others. But the fact that Wolf Blitzer would drive home again, you went after that building knowing that they might be inside there? Well, to his credit, the IDF commander he's talking to, or actually not him, but a UN ambassador from Israel, had some comments as well. Mark Regev, he is a former Israeli ambassador. I want you to hear his viewpoint.
You talk about the propaganda from the other side, and the trouble is, and sometimes I think parts of your colleagues in the media are guilty of this, people don't understand Hamas is not a democracy.
No.
Gaza is a brutal authoritarian regime there. And people who speak to the media, whether they're doctors or nurses or some local official, they have to follow the party line.
That's right.
They have to follow Hamas's line. And so all the information coming out of Gaza is controlled by Hamas. The pictures you see are controlled by Hamas. The words that come out of Gaza are controlled by Hamas. And as a result, people get a very warped picture. I mean, have you seen a single picture of a dead Hamas terrorist since we started operation inside Gaza? No, they don't allow pictures. They only want you to believe that innocent civilians have been hit. Well, obviously, we've been hitting Hamas terrorists one after the other.
And they're hiding under civilians or behind them. The video from that building imploding on the explosion when it got hit and then collapsing into the tunnel, they were more than glad for those pictures to go out. Look what Israel did. And CNN Wolf Blitzer took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. You targeted that building knowing there would be civilians in it? Yes, because we had to get to that commander and his other people. And that's where he was hiding out. Would they have wanted another option? Let me put it to you this way. If Israel wanted to not worry at all about civilian casualties, or even the hostages that are being held, even if they're American, fighter bombers would be reducing everything on Gaza to nothing less than a foot and a half high. They could do that, but they're not. They're trying to be precise with their targets. When they get some intel, they need to act on it then. They can't wait. Well, do we worry about what the world's going to think? Because Hamas is going to let these pictures get out, which they did. They wanted the world to see. You know civilians lived there. And I agree, as you heard from the former UN ambassador, Regev, he said, they only want you to see what they want you to see. And have you seen a Hamas soldier dead or terrorist? They'll call them soldiers or really terrorists. No, you haven't. They were willing to show you a picture of a woman that they'd taken from the beach party, basically in the back of a truck with the leg contorted in such a way and her face down in it like maybe she might be dead. Turned out she wasn't dead at that point, but later she was. And they paraded her around and shot pictures of her to show, look what we did. And they've shown pictures of burned bodies of children and heads chopped off to their people because they want to emphasize how mean we are. Yeah, they're mean. And they're fearless. As long as they're hiding behind women and children. There has been a brokered deal involving the U.S., Israel, Egypt, and even Hamas to let some hostages, and Palestinians leave through the Rafah Gate, which links Gaza to Egypt.
We want everyone to leave who wants to leave. The question is, what will Hamas do? When Secretary Blinken was here on his first visit, that's over 2 weeks ago, we discussed our willingness to work with the Americans to get all your American citizens out. That was our commitment. And I thought it should have been done, you know, when we made that decision. But Hamas was holding the American citizens as sort of hostages. They didn't want to let them leave. Apparently, they've agreed finally to let them leave. I hope they can all get out and return home and be with their families.
You would hope that, but we don't know that that's going to happen. Now, again, Egypt has said it does not want Palestinians. They are letting some in. There was a paper being pushed around in Israel shortly after Hamas attack when it came to the Palestinian civilians, what to do with them, maybe put them on the Egyptian Sinai Peninsula. But Egypt doesn't want that. Lebanon doesn't want them. Syria doesn't want them. But, of course, something's going to have to be done with them. But, again, the U.N. ambassador, former U.N. ambassador from Israel, Regev saying they are releasing some. We don't know how many. We don't know how many are going to get out. But if we had our way, we'd want all of them out. But they're not going to do that. Hamas is not going to release their bargaining chip, maybe their last bargaining chip, because they can see Israel's still coming. They're going to continue to come despite the adverse publicity and even the support of leftist media in this country. They're going to continue to go after the terrorists. And then when it comes to Hamas had said, well, we will consider releasing more in the future days. Regev says, you don't believe that?
We don't believe much of what Hamas is saying publicly. They say something and they say the opposite the next day, and you never know what is true. And the assumption is that everything they say is just psychological propaganda for their terror machine. I can say the following. We're continuing to hit the Hamas terror machine hard. They're facing our blows. They're feeling our might. And I think that pressure will do more than anything else to get our hostages out. Together with the diplomatic pressure on Hamas's allies in the Gulf, I think that's the way to get our people out.
Yeah, they're not going to simply give them up unless you keep pressure on them. And, of course, this airstrike, which left catastrophic damage, killing a large number of people, untold number, to get that Hamas commander and others. Now you've got the state-controlled media like CNN and NN rushing to the White House saying, Mr. President, are you aware what Israel just did? And they want Biden to take a stance on this thing. I'm looking at one piece written by CNN here, and a spokesman from the White House, the Biden National Security Team, a source with close contact with them, said, they, talking about the Biden White House, have a huge amount of anxiety about innocent lives being killed. They obviously deeply care about that. There is not a lack of empathy. Now, again, none of us want civilians killed, and especially children. And Biden has condemned Hamas for what it did in Israel. And yet he's got members of his own party which will not condemn what Hamas did. Again, I'm looking at some of these statements. The president of the Refugees International, who had worked in the Obama administration, said the attack on that refugee camp was a clear-cut war crime. Riddle me this. Did the Germans ever get accused of war crimes for the bombing of England? No. It was part of the war, and they were going after targets that might include civilians being killed. Or maybe, in fact, to go after civilians. And you ask that reference Japanese. You can ask it about the U.S. reference how we ended that war. Coming up in the next hour, more checks lined up to Joe Biden. For this hour is over, Josh Hawley and Mayorkas again. And my guest you don't want to miss, Lock and Load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well,
with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is the author of a new book titled The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Mark Levin has already endorsed the book. The Heritage Foundation president wrote years of investigative research and reporting with a timely and definitive guide to American election integrity and its enemies. The author is also the chief correspondent, The Daily Signal. Fred Lucas, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
That is very high praise, obviously, from Levin and the head of the Heritage Foundation. And election integrity we're all concerned about as we go into the next election. And the left continues to suggest if we don't win, it was rigged.
Yeah, that is something that they keep coming up with. The book, The Myth of Voter Suppression, keeps stressing the point that the left generally says that has tried to say that voter fraud is a myth, while they claim that the real problem is voter suppression. The book makes the case in painstaking detail after detail and research. That's not the case. There is plenty of proof of voter fraud, and that's been adjudicated in numerous cases, often local cases with mayor's races, county races,
right,
representative races, Congress, where elections have been reversed, people have gone to jail, whereas on the voter suppression side, the theories championed by Stacey Abrams and Hillary Clinton, for that matter, there's been, you can't find a plaintiff. you can't find an adjudicated case. And I'm talking about modern times here.
Right.
I'm not talking about in the 1960s
and so forth.
And pre that. You cannot find a case in modern times where voter suppression has been a proven problem at all. And that is something that the left basically uses as an excuse for losing elections and also for playing the race card.
Applying the race card and also rigging the election so they can do something better. You know, the whole issue, when it came down to Biden and Trump, it was a perfect storm when COVID hit and then the rush for, we got to do absentee voting. And folks cannot go vote in person, so we're going to have to do more absentee voting. Then we can do more harvesting and collecting. And then maybe we won't fully count the numbers till we know where we stand. We might need to bring more boxes in.
Yeah, I mean, the 2020, I mean, whatever you think about the 2020 election, the fact is that rules were changed, laws were changed, sometimes not in a constitutional matter, as we saw in Pennsylvania and so forth. Specifically, that might be the best example. But
yeah, break that down.
That favored one candidate over another.
Yeah, break that down very quickly on the Philadelphia case for the folks not familiar with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. With the case with Pennsylvania, the governor unilaterally changed the voting laws and expanded absentee deadlines and so forth without legislative approval. That was a violation of the Constitution. But this did go to the elected Supreme Court, heavy Democratic majority there that year, and they ruled with the governor. So you had that situation. You of course had the book also goes into the findings after the election, that this really took a look at things adjudicated after the 2020 election, that looked into the findings about Zucker books after Wisconsin special counsel investigation there. So a lot has happened since then.
And then, of course, once the Republicans began to say, you know, we need to get a better handle on this and we need to start really doing a better job because we actually, unfortunately, believed they would play honestly. But when they want to win, they're going to cheat. I mean, and then when they started revamping the Georgia laws, we were told immediately, oh, my God, you're going to make it impossible for black people to vote. You won't let them drink water in line, which was a lie. You won't allow them to do this and do that. And the voters, blacks would just disappear from the voting list. And yet their black numbers that year were higher, that midterm were higher than ever.
Yes, exactly. And that is the book, The Myth of Voter Suppression, goes into this in multiple elections. After voter ID laws were passed previously, and you know, going for almost 20 years or so now, after voter ID laws were passed, there was this wail and cry that this is going to lead to mass voter suppression. After issues about cleaning up voter rolls, getting dead people's names off the voter rolls and so forth, that the same thing happened. These dire predictions never ever came true. Usually, voter ID usually prompted more people to vote. I think that the people generally have more confidence in the system when there's voter ID out there, and they feel like their vote counts for more.
And to that extent, I mean, they wanted to suggest, and to me, it's dismissive of the black population and basically embarrassing to suggest, well, they can't get their picture taken, even when it's provided free. But I will bet, out of a majority who claim that, they've been on a plane at some point, and they damn well had to have a photo ID to get on the plane.
Well, one important point that the book points out is that historically, Democrats have just generally tried to play around with voting laws. They've tried to distort these. This goes back to the real Jim Crow, right. 1.0. There is no Jim Crow 2.0, but there is a Jim Crow 1.0. That was a Democrat, and they pushed these laws. Basically, it was about changing election laws to ensure Democrats win. Those were that was the real voter suppression. That was eventually done away with.
And the other thing is they did not want black voters. The Democrats didn't want blacks
exactly.
to vote.
Right. Jim Crow. Was a Democratic push. Also, at the same time, Democrats were in the South were pushing Jim Crow. Democrats in the North and also in the big city industrial states had the big party machines like Tammany Hall.
Right.
Those were also intermingled government with political parties, the Democrats, in order to change the voting laws to win elections, keep Democrats in power. And in that case, Tammany Hall, they would let people out of prisons. They would go to basically get people off the vote or off the boat and bring them in to vote and immigrants. It's not so different from what's happening now in some ways.
That was part of
like a long running Democratic Party tradition. And the Democratic Party hasn't changed all that much.
You're listening to Fred Lucas. He's the chief correspondent at Daily Signal, author of his new book, The Myth of Voter Suppression: The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Now, on the point about the immigrants, Hillary Clinton claimed, well, I really didn't lose. I won the popular vote. We should get rid of the Electoral College. And the night of the election, every state-controlled media, as I call them, were pointing, oh, the blue wall. Trump cannot get through the blue wall. Hillary would win this and win that. And then it began to crumble and crash through. And he got the Electoral College vote, which is what the Constitution calls for. And the election right. deniers on the left Which were saying, yeah, they're saying, hey, we won the popular vote. That should count.
Yeah. There was a strategy ahead of time from the Hillary Clinton campaign, and that's been since reported, that they were planning, they were worried that Trump would win the popular vote.
Yeah.
That they didn't think there was any way he would win the Electoral College.
Exactly.
Because of the blue wall. And they spent a massive amount of money in states like Texas and Louisiana, Dallas and New Orleans market, where there's a lot of Democrats, to get them to turn out and vote just so they could win the popular vote. That's money they didn't spend in Wisconsin, which was obviously a bad move.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's how campaigns work. You're responsible for your decisions.
The other point being the popular vote they got, we don't know how many of those were even legal citizens, that they had a legal right to vote.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true, too. I mean, certainly, places like California, the book goes in detail. There's a whole chapter in The Myth of Voter Suppression. There's a chapter in there about ballot harvesting. And one such case, I go into detail, it's not just a purely partisan thing. I go into detail about a Republican congressional race in North Carolina. It ended up being reversed, and convictions involved over ballot harvesting in that case.
Right.
And that's the type of case, and goes into other cases out of Florida, Texas, elsewhere. The big problem, those type of cases would have never been prosecuted in a state like California, because even if this stuff is illegal, it would never be caught in California because there's so many laws that are willy-nilly and so hard to catch in California.
Well,
and,
the way,
blue states.
In your investigation and looking at it, as we go in the last minute plus on the interview here, how do you see the Republicans and the nation are prepared for a free and fair election? That's all I want, free and fair election.
Well, Democrats are obsessed with power. We know that. And they're pretty, they resist any type of change for more election integrity, but they're also pretty good at evolving. So we're going to see what happens in 2024. Also a lot of a couple for governor and several for state legislature. So we're going to see what happens in that case. Democrats know how to evolve. They know how to find new tricks.
Yep, and they will use it. Fred Lucas, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. Fred Lucas, the book again, The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. That's a key point, clean elections. I don't care which side of the party you belong to, but don't you want a fair election, period? It's like going to a football game. You want it to be fair. You might not want your team to lose, but if they lost fairly, then that's it. Coming up next, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley questioned DHS Secretary Mayorkas yesterday about a DHS employee praising Hamas on the attack against Israel. Well, I want to go back to that, and you got to hear how Mayorkas cried foul on that question, and how MSNBC is chastising Senator Hawley. Coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Mr. Secretary, what's going on here? Is this typical of people who work at DHS? This is an asylum and immigration officer who is posting these frankly pro-genocidal slogans and images on the day that Israelis are being slaughtered in their beds. What have you done about this?
What I found despicable is the implication that this language, tremendously odious, actually it could be emblematic of the sentiments of the 260,000 men and women of the Department of Homeland Security, number one. Number two, Senator Hawley takes an adversarial approach to me in this question, and perhaps he doesn't know my own background. Perhaps he does not know that I am the child of a Holocaust survivor. Perhaps he does not know that my mother lost almost all her family at the hands of the Nazis. And so I find his adversarial tone to be entirely misplaced. I find it to be disrespectful of me and my heritage. And I do not expect an apology, but I did want to say what I just articulated. Thank you.
There was Mayorkas responding not to the question about a DHS employee, one of his employees, posting genocidal messages about destroying Israel on the day of the Hamas attack. When he turned, and of course he started immediately, yeah, that's not emblematic of everybody. Hawley didn't say that. And Josh Hawley is attacking me, and you're being attacked because you're the head of the agency, not because of your heritage or anything else. I don't know if Josh Hawley knew that Mayorkas had the history of escaping parents who escaped the Holocaust and those who didn't. That is not an issue there either. But what gets to me is that Hawley, in asking a very direct question about a specific employee, what's being done, why have you allowed this, what's happening with this employee, things of this nature, Mayorkas wants to spread it out and say, well, you're suggesting everybody. He did not say that. And maybe you don't know my history, that I have Jewish family who died in the Holocaust. That was not the issue either. Josh Hawley would have sympathy for Mayorkas losing family members in the Holocaust just as I would, and you would. That's not the issue. But Mayorkas thought, you know, this I can use to set a new tone and to never answer any questions, but make it look like I'm a victim. You're making me a victim. You're the head of the damn department. They're asking you about what you're doing about an employee and what that employee did. This is a female. She's obviously Arab descent, Palestinian possibly, but in that region, but obviously talked that day on the after the attacks as to this is apartheid occupation, suggesting again it was reasonable for Hamas to go in and kill babies and slaughter innocent people and putting up pictures of such. That was the question. But Mayorkas wants to turn it into, you're trying to make me a victim. They love taking it and spinning it and trying to make you feel guilty. It is basically the same old pull the race card. Pull the Jew card this time because I'm a Jew and you're attacking me. He was not attacking you, sir. He was attacking you as your head of position for the DHS and what you're doing about your J-O-B. But aside from Mayorkas spreading out that maybe he doesn't know all of this about me and it's just shameful he'd pick on me like this, he found a willing audience with the state-controlled media, in particular MSNBC and Joe Scarborough.
The grandstanding and the shock opera, it's just, it's repulsive. I mean, it's repulsive. What was repulsive? Those were repulsive. So was Senator Hawley suggesting that the son of a Holocaust survivor who lost most of her family during the Holocaust was anti-Semitic. That's how stupid they are.
And the suggestion that one post leads to rot. It means there's rot in the DHS. There's rot in the government.
I mean,
the deep state. He's trying to make a point with one truly despicable post by one employee and obviously some poor staff work there not to know that Secretary Mayorkas is a child of a Holocaust survivor.
Well, at least one member of the Morning Coffee Joe program admitted that the remarks made by the employee, the one employee, were despicable. But the whole premise from Joe Scarborough was the drama, the grandstanding, as Joe and Micah, his wife, suggested that Josh Hawley was doing when he was asking, what are you doing about this employee? And we never really got an answer. We never really got an answer. I'm looking at some of the latest I have seen on it, and supposedly this employee who's been at DHS since 2019 is now on administrative leave from the department. In other words, you're still paying her salary while she's on leave for making such a post. Many companies, you put something up like that, your ass is out the door. And you're not going to get your money in the process. But again, the state-controlled media buys into the fact that Mayorkas, and yes, again, I feel for him losing any members of his family during the Jewish Holocaust or a tragic accident, or an explosion in a building uncounted for, or on 9/11, I feel for all of them. But that's not the issue. He wants to make it the issue, and he's got willing media that will follow along, follow Pied Piper right off the cliff, as they did. And then Joe Scarborough, who's questioning Hawley and saying that he's grandstanding, here comes Joe Scarborough and his own scheme of grandstanding.
How does a guy who did the best he could do to rev up the crowds on January the 6th, Jonathan, start a riot that would end with the death of four police officers in the days that followed, days and weeks that followed, would lead to the first insurrection against the United States of America? How does a guy like that, first of all, how is he still in the United States Senate?
That's a good question, Joe. Why aren't you asking the same question of congresswomen who have declared from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, and will not condemn Hamas killing innocent women and children? Why aren't you calling for their expulsion? And then he was making up facts that Hawley led the January 6th. It was not an insurrection. That's also a lie. And the deaths of four police officers, suggesting they were killed during that day, which is another lie. One apparently did have a heart ailment and died either that day or later the day. And then there were a couple that committed suicide. And he says, Josh Hawley is to blame for all of those. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. That's the way they're looking at it. Now, with Biden's open border policy, we have no idea, really, of how many Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, or other jihadists are now inside our country. But FBI Director Wray has admitted the nation is at increased risk.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Here in the United States, our most immediate concern is that violent extremists, individuals or small groups, will draw inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks against Americans going about their daily lives. That includes not just homegrown violent extremists inspired by a foreign terrorist organization, but also domestic violent extremists targeting Jewish or Muslim communities. We've already seen that with the individual we arrested last week in Houston who'd been studying how to build bombs and posted online about his support for killing Jews. And with the tragic killing of a six-year-old Muslim boy in Illinois in what we're investigating as a federal hate crime. But as I said a few moments ago, on top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, we also cannot and do not discount the possibility that Hamas or another foreign terrorist organization may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks here on our own soil.
That was Ray yesterday in a Senate hearing. And how will they do it on our soil? Because they came across the open border. Why not? Why would you not use that opportunity if you're a terrorist operation? And we don't have any idea of number, do we? I want to go back to a question that Kansas Senator Marshall raised asking Mayorkas, who's supposed to have this number and know it, a specific question reference Hamas.
Mr. Secretary, approximately how many illegal aliens in this country or here on asylum have direct ties to Hamas, to Hezbollah, to the Islamic Jihad or the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps of Iran?
Senator Marshall, let me assure you that individuals that pose a risk to our national security are our highest enforcement priority. The safety and security of the American public.
Do you have any idea how many numbers, what those numbers are? Is it tens? Is it hundreds? Is it thousands?
An individual who poses a risk to our national security is our highest enforcement priority. And if
detention, so you don't know the answer to the question?
And if detention is indeed warranted by reason of the risk they present, then we indeed detain them.
Blah, blah,
do you
blah,
have an answer
blah.
For my question?
I believe I have answered your question.
No, sir, you didn't. I asked you how many have direct ties to Hamas, Hezbollah, Islam Jihad.
Blah, blah, blah. All he's giving him is blah, 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 blah. Did you hear an answer? Of course you didn't hear an answer. So then the Kansas senator asked, what about Chinese nationals that have been coming across the border?
Would you agree with me that over 18,000 Chinese nationals, many are military-aged young men, have illegally crossed the southern border in fiscal year 2023?
Senator, I don't have the precise number, but as I said, individuals who are encountered are placed into immigration enforcement proceedings, and if they qualify for asylum.
With all due respect, you would agree with me it's over 18,000, though.
I do not have the number at my disposal.
Do you know where the Chinese nationals are settling, where they're working, why they're here? How do you follow them?
Senator, if an individual has fled China and seeks asylum and qualifies for asylum, for example,
if they fear persecution.
I understand that.
By reason of their membership in a particular social group.
How do you follow them? That's not my question. How do you follow them? Do you have a heightened concern for these people?
So, Senator, if an individual poses a risk to public safety or national security, they are deemed a priority and can be placed in detention if the facts so warrant.
And you know when the facts are going to warrant? When the explosions go off. And again, it's blah, 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 blah. I don't have a precise number. Didn't ask for a precise number. But would you agree 18,000? Well, I don't even want to admit that. This nation has inside our borders right now uncounted numbers of jihadists for various terrorist groups waiting for a signal or maybe a lone action that they decide to carry out. And they'll look for soft targets. Bill Maher the other day, and Bill Maher has always been a liberal, but he's been taking a more centrist line, and he's good about questioning both sides. He had former New York Governor Cuomo on, and they're talking about how COVID was handled under Cuomo. Now, when you listen to Cuomo talk about things that did work and didn't work, you're going to hear him basically repeat what was in an Atlantic Monthly piece about a month ago. It's time to forgive and have grace for any mistakes we made.
Well, I was on the board of my kid's school during COVID. I wanted a harsher lockdown policy, and in retrospect, I was wrong. The damage to kids of keeping them out of school longer was greater than the risks. But here's the bottom line. Myself, our great people, the CDC, I'd like to thank the governor. We were all operating with imperfect information, and we were doing our best.
So let's learn from it. Let's learn from it. Let's learn from it. Let's hold each other accountable, but let's bring a little bit of grace and forgiveness in the show that was holding.
What a crowd. Yeah, that's applauding. We didn't know. If you'd listened to the parents and educators who are really concerned about the kids, they told you it was going to be damning to the kids and damaging. And we don't know when we'll ever recover from what we've done to our children during that period of time. But here's the other thing. The question that was not asked. Give us some grace. We made a mistake. We're working with the best information we had. What about putting elderly people back into death camps, nursing homes, sending them to nursing homes, when that was obviously the clearest case of threat to the population, those who were elderly, who had morbidity issues, and you sent them back into basic death camps in hospitals. You want grace for that as well. You're going to have to go to God for that kind of grace. I will not have that grace for you, and I will not give you that kind of grace and an excuse to say, well, my bad, we didn't know. If you had listened to a lot of the American people, they knew better than what you were doing. They knew what you were trying to do, trying to control them, and they stood up and spoke out against it. And many of them got defamed, basically slandered, slurred, losing their jobs, or threatened with it. Where's your grace for those people? I haven't heard you speak grace of that. I haven't heard you apologize for what you did with the people that were at that point being kept out of school, or those who were sent to death camps in nursing homes. Grace, apology. You know, when you look for grace, again, I say go to God. I'm not giving you that grace. In the second hour, the Biden money train continues to roll. You don't want to miss it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.